Today is Graduate Sunday, and we're actually going to be recognizing our church's graduates at the end of our service this morning. Those graduates have a big day ahead of them because they're making an appearance in our 8:30 service on the tail end. They'll be making an appearance in our 11 o'clock service. I think they'll be eating together at some point today, and then also they have a baccalaureate service, so they've got lots of appearances to make, and so we'll try to wrap up our preaching time a little earlier than we normally do so that we can bring them in and hear from them and just thank God for all he's done in each one of their lives, bringing them to the place that he's brought them and recognizing their great accomplishment. But with that in mind, I want to share with you a special themed message, really that's for our graduates. However, I think the graduates are actually going to be listening to this sermon in our later service. So let me give you this warning. Be careful. Even though this message is geared towards graduates and young people following God at a certain stage in their life, you've got to be careful, because whenever God's word is preached, it's got this sort of way where it sneaks up on you and speaks to you in ways you weren't anticipating, and sometimes it grabs a hold of your heart at moments when you really weren't ready for it to. So that would certainly be our hope today. We're in 1 Timothy. If you have a Bible, why don't you look there with me? We'll read together in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll read verses 11 or 12 down through verse number 16. And I want to share with you a message I've titled, The Best Advice That I Could Ever Give. And it's not my advice, it's God's advice from his word. And I just want to share it with you today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's read verse 11 down through verse number 16. Verse 11 simply says, command and teach these things. What things? Verse 12 tells us, don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example. Set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, that is the public reading of the scriptures, exhortation, and teaching. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. And practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and to your teaching, and persevere in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is God's word to us today, and all of God's people said, amen. Why don't you bow with me? We're just going to say a prayer here at the outset that God would touch our hearts through this now, the preaching of his word. Let's pray. Father, would you speak to us now? We pray, God, that in this moment of worship, Lord, this act of devotion, where we come and sit at the feet of your word, we pray, God, your Holy Spirit would touch our heart, Lord, speaking to us. God, maybe you have a call you want to place on someone's life today. Holy Spirit, call them. Lord, maybe there's a heart in this room that needs to be encouraged. Oh, compassionate Father, would you encourage your son or your daughter today? Lord, maybe there's someone here today who's never given their heart to you. Jesus, would you bless them with the most amazing gift of all, the gift of faith, the gift of salvation. We pray you'd be honored now as we worship you together. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to take verses 12 down to verse 16 and share with you a few pieces of advice, just four, that at one and the same time do what we call an exposition of our text, which is to say it exposes or reveals what God wants us to know from the pages of his Bible, but at the same time gives a particular application if we have young people in the room. We do have some young people in the room. We have a lot of other people who are young at heart, but we do have some young people in the room. May this word be encouraging to you. So, number one piece of advice I can give from God's word is this. Do what you can. All right, I'm going to take a few moments and try to make sense out of that for you. Do what you can. So often, we spend our lives making excuses for the things we don't have power over. Right? Well, I can't do this because of this. And I can't do this because of that. Well, God's word says, listen, don't worry about what you can't do. Do what you can. And I think in a sense, that's precisely what the Apostle Paul means here in verse number 12. Remember, Paul, a senior minister, a father in the faith to young Timothy. Timothy, very much a pastor, a young pastor of a local church. And he was young. And notice what Paul says to him in verse 12. He said, listen, don't let anyone despise your youth. Okay, you can't control people's thoughts and attitudes towards you. You can't control how old you are, whether you're young, middle-aged, or old. But here's what you can do. He says in verse 12, you can set an example for the believers. And he names five ways in particular that example can be set. You can't be older than you are. You can't be younger than you are. But you can always set a good example, which is to say you can make an impact on the people around you by how you live your life. And that's precisely what we're called to do. We can't control what other people think, what they believe. We certainly don't have a say in how they behave. But what we can do is we can follow God passionately, with commitment, with devotion. And we can be a good example in your speech, in your conduct, love, faith, and purity. That's the list of five things that we can do. No matter what other people may say about us, no matter what stage of life that we are in, as people of faith, we can set a good example in what we say, what we do, how we treat people, how we exercise our faith or what we believe, and in the practice of self-control. And I want to point something out. And again, this is really intended for our young people, but you're going to get to listen in and eavesdrop a little bit, right? This is intended for our graduates, but I want to notice something. If you're not careful, we may miss it as it's not quite as obvious as you might think. In verse 12, he says, set an example for who? For the believers, right? Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers. When I tell our young people to do what they can, one of the applications I'm really going to make for our graduates later this morning is they need to be committed to be a part of God's church. Right? Notice the context in which God tells us to do what we can. The context is the local church. Don't let anyone despise you for your youth. Who's he talking about? People in the church who God forbid, but people in the church who may look down on you for your age, who may not feel you're ready to do adult things yet, who may not let you yet hold a position of leadership or responsibility. But he's talking about specifically in the church. Instead, set an example for them, for the believers. There's an assumption here for young people of God that they will be in the church, that they will be a part of the church. And the assumption is not made just so we can check something off our list and say, well, there, I went to church on Sunday. I don't have to feel guilty about that for the next 7 days. No, that's not the part. The point here is a child of God belongs to the family of God. Accordingly, we ought to value our family. Let me tell you the single best piece of advice I was given before I moved off to college. So I did my undergraduate studies at Liberty University. That's in Central Virginia. Maybe I've told you this story before. I'm not sure. If I've forgotten, chances are you've forgotten too. So let's just hear it again. But I remember that it was the early 2000s. I was entering in to begin studies at Liberty University. And my mom and dad drove me up there. I was the baby in our family. My sister was already married. She had a kid. And so my parents were officially empty nesters when they dropped me off at college. And I'll never forget being in the parking lot outside my dorm at Liberty University, watching my mom and dad drive away. And there I looked at my dorm. And I did not know a single person in the whole state of Virginia. And I thought, man, this is cool. Right? I mean, it's just time. It's time to go live my life. Maybe I'm different, but that was the mindset that I had. Here's the single best piece of advice someone gave me. They said, whatever you do when you get there, make sure you find a church. Now, a particular temptation at a Christian university such as that was to go to what they called campus church, which was a wonderful thing. But every Sunday morning, you basically could get up in your pajamas and stumble to the cafeteria and then stumble to the big little, it's called the Vine Center at the time. I don't know what they call it now. But the best speaker and the best praise band in town would be right there on campus. And you just come in, sit in your seat, and then go back to your dorm. But that's not a real church. And so a mentor of mine at the time told me, when you get there, resist that temptation. Go find you a real church. And that's precisely what I did. And it was through that church that God gave me my first job in the ministry, which was actually in kids ministry, Lori. So kudos to you. What she does is way harder than it looks. I tried it for a year, and I was faithful and committed, but it didn't go so great. When we look at God's word and it tells us, don't get all wrapped up in what you can do. Focus on what you can do. One of the most important and foundational things we can do as children of God, no matter what stage of life we're in, is this. We can be a part of God's church, to be committed to that, to be called to be a part of that. And you know, it's not always easy to do that. Because where you gather people, there will be personalities. There will be desires, desires met, desires unmet. There will sometimes be competitions of ideas. We won't always get along with everyone. Sometimes things will happen or changes will be made in a church and, you know, we're not real crazy about them. Sometimes people will ask our opinion on a particular matter and then they won't follow the opinion that we gave them and we're like, well, what did you even ask for? Right? But that's life, wherever you go. We've been called to serve as a part of the people of God. One of the things we can always do is be a part of His church. And so don't wait. If you're here and you're a young person today, don't wait to be involved with the people of God. Serve. If you're here today and you'd say, well, I'm not old, young, I'm on the other end of that. It's been a long time since my high school graduation. If that's you, let me tell you, as our young people are not too young to serve God, you are not too old to serve God. Right? As long as you got a pulse, you ain't retired from serving Jesus yet. Right? Our retirement home's on the other side of glory. So we serve Him. We're faithful in the ways that we can. If you're here and you're young, let me just tell you this. People may not take you seriously yet because they think you're too young. God doesn't think that way. He takes you seriously. So seriously, in fact, He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. Consider, when David slew Goliath, most Hebrew experts say he was approximately 17 years old. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace, when Daniel was thrown into a lion's den, most historians estimate they were still teenagers. Many commentators believe that Jesus' disciples were all under the age of 18 when we read about them in the books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How about this? When Jesus lived and taught and served as a rabbi and performed miracles, confounded the experts of His day, when He died on a cross and when He rose from the dead, when He did all those things, He was younger than I am today. We may undervalue young people. Our God does not. So don't worry about what you can't do. Do what you can. Here's the second piece of advice this morning. Stay in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. Look at verse 13. Again, we're just walking through each verse in this passage. Verse 13 says, until I come, give your attention to public reading. Now, he's here talking about what goes on in the local church. Right? He's talking to a pastor. He says, listen, when you gather for worship, give your attention to the public reading of the Scriptures and to exhortations and teachings that flow out of that public reading. He's talking about preaching here. Read God's Word. And then filled with the Spirit, gifted by the Spirit for service, preach the Word. There's a value placed on the Bible here for the people of God. The Bible is significant. The Bible is important. Here we're told to devote ourselves, to give attention to. The idea is to take your mind and point it in the direction of the Bible. Give time to it. Reading it, studying it, understanding it, memorizing it, working with it. I don't believe in magic. But if I did, I would tell you, this is a magical book. Here's what I do believe in. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in the power of God. And I believe His power and His grace is just oozing up out of every single page. And so put yourself into contact with it. This book, the book of God, will change your life. Have a quiet time. Do your devotions. Read God's Word. And if you're tempted to say, well, I'm not really sure how to do it. Well, I can tell you how not to do it, and that's by neglecting it. There's really not a wrong way to do it. The only wrong way is to neglect it and not to do it. According to surveys conducted by Lifeway Research, reading the Bible is the number one predictor of spiritual growth and spiritual health in the life of the people of God. The practice of what that survey termed Bible engagement is the one thing that really impacts every other wonderful Christian practice. You want to serve God, you want to be faithful, you want to be kind and humble and hospitable, you want to be a person of prayer,
We want to live a life of service, Christ-like in attitude, in relationships, generous, someone who's a soul winner. All of those things are deeply connected to your life of devotion according to God's word. Reading your Bible really is that important. Let me share with you a third piece of advice. There's four of these. A third piece of advice: be yourself. You be you. Now, you can understand why these things in particular would be important to tell our young people as they prepare to graduate and go on to whatever comes next for them in their life. But I think all of us need a good dose of this ourselves. Be yourself. Be proud of who God made you to be. And do the thing that God has called you to do. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that you have to act like someone other than yourself or be like someone other than yourself. God doesn't want you to be the next Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, right? He already did them. They're done. Now he wants to do you. He wants you to be you. Don't ever compromise who you are or fall victim to all the different temptations related to insecurity and identity. Notice what Paul says in verse 14. Remember, he's talking to Timothy. Timothy was young. He's trying to encourage him. He says, don't neglect the gift that is in you. Right? He's talking specifically, personally, about him. He's speaking, in a sense, to his identity. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. It was given to you through prophecy. This is all a very personal thing. Paul and Timothy both would have been there for that. Timothy would remember what he's talking about. It's some sort of worship service in which Timothy's giftedness was recognized. It may have been something akin to an ordination service or an installation service as a pastor of that particular local church. And he says, it was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the counsel of the elders. He's telling Timothy, listen, don't let your circumstances change who you are. If you face something in life that's difficult, if you face something in life and you're not sure what to do, here's certainly what not to do, and that is cave on your convictions and try to be somebody you're not. You be you as God has created you to be, as he's gifted you to be. And if there's parts of that you don't like, if there's parts of you that you wish you could change, let me tell you, God did not make a mistake when he made you exactly the way that you are. So be yourself. I read a book probably 10 years ago. It was called Discover Your Shape, S-H-A-P-E. And SHAPE was an acronym. And the whole idea was finding your identity in Christ so that you could serve others. So let me share with you what each of those letters stand for. S-H-A-P. S stands for spiritual gifts, which the Bible teaches are given to every child of God when they are saved. The Holy Spirit fills your life. And in some particular way, if not in a few particular ways, God gifts you so that you can serve his people. Right? Even at the very outset of your salvation, God is equipping you distinctly for a life of service among his people as a part of the church. So discover your spiritual gifts. The letter H stands for the word heart. It refers to things that you're passionate about. The letter A stands for your abilities. Those are just talents or skills that God has given you. Use those to serve God and to serve his church. The letter P stands for your personality. We all have different personalities. Some are suited very well for certain kinds of tasks or relationships, and others can be quite different, but no less valuable and distinct for their potential to serve God and to serve his people. So use that personality. And then the letter E stands for experiences, which is to say, we go through things in life, and when we go through those things, those experiences uniquely equip us to serve other people who may be going through a similar experience someday. So discover that shape, S-H-A-P-E. It's who you are. And God is using all of those things uniquely to encourage you to be yourself. Let me share with you a fourth piece of advice, a final piece of advice this morning here from 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Be faithful and grow. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your family. Be faithful to your church. And grow accordingly. Look at verse 15. Right, as we walk through this passage, this wonderful advice from Paul to Timothy, and he lays out for Timothy his advice in verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. And then in verse 15, he says, all right, practice these things. Right? Be faithful. Do these things. Practice these things. Be committed to these things so that your progress may be evident to all. Right? Be faithful. Practice these things. Be faithful. Be committed to these things and grow. Or as Paul says it, so that your progress may be evident to all. Our faithfulness and our growth as children of God very much go together. Think of a garden, whether it's a flower garden, a vegetable garden. Think of a garden in which you plant a seed. When you plant a seed, you expect the seed to grow. If it doesn't grow, something's wrong with it, and something needs to change. In a very similar way, our lives are the garden of God. He has planted the seed of faith in our hearts, and we're supposed to grow, to be faithful and to grow. The secret of life is faithfulness to God. Nothing is more important than that. A growing Christian, faithful, experiencing God's blessing, facing risks, trusting God, a growing Christian is the greatest thing in all the world. And that's what you can be. Be faithful and grow. This is God's word for us today. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads. While your heads are bowed, would you just take a moment and reflect on how maybe the Lord has touched your heart today. Maybe it was something that was read. Maybe it was during our singing time. We had a wonderful time of worship earlier in our service. If God has touched your heart today, would you just tell Him quietly to yourself, just say, God, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. If the Lord has challenged you today or called forth some sort of response from you today, would you just take a moment and commit yourself to do what God's called you to do, to be what God has called you to be? And for all of us, as we close out this portion of our service, can we just take a moment and worship God in our hearts? An act of response, having heard from His word, would you just tell Him, God, you're good? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you, and Lord, in particular, to study your word together and to be encouraged thereby. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.